I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning round. It's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown. Someday, yes, I'll keep holding on, holding to that nail-scarred head. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Oh, no, I'm not giving up. See, I'm not turning round. It's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown someday. Oh, I'll keep holding on, holding to that nail-scarred head. And I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. I've been walking through this valley, through this vale of tears. At times I've had to question even if my Lord was near. And many times that old tempter, he said, why not turn around? 'Cause you can't get any farther, seems, and you're just losing ground. Oh, but I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning around. It's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown someday. Yes, I'll keep holding on, holding to that nail-scarred head. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Well, would you mind to tell me there's been something bothering me? Why is it that that old devil, he just won't let God's children be? You see, he's purposed and determined just to get right in our way, then turn us from the way of life and lead our souls astray. Oh, but I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning round. It's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown someday. Yes, I'll keep holding on, holding to that nail-scarred head. Oh, I'm not giving up.
Would you stand and let's sing it together?
Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not giving up.
No, sir.
No, I'm not turning round. It's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown someday. Yes, I'll keep holding on.
Glory, glory,
holding to that nail-scarred head. And I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on.
Hallelujah.
Now would you mind to tell me there's been something bothering me? Why is it that that old devil, he just won't let God's children be? You see, he's purposed and determined just to get right in my way, then turn me from the way of life and lead my soul astray. But I'm not giving up. I'm not turning round. See, it's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown someday. And I'll keep holding on, holding to that nail-scarred head. Oh, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Well, I've been walking through a valley.
Yes, I've been
walking through this veil of tears.
Hallelujah.
At times I've had to question even if my Lord was near. Oh, and many times that old tempter, he said, why not turn around? 'Cause you can't get any farther, because you're just losing ground. Oh, but I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning around. It's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, I'll keep holding on, holding to that nail-scarred head. No, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on.
So turn to an infallible book called Isaiah, the statesman prophet, and turn to chapter 58, one of the greatest chapters in this Bible, in this book particularly. You know, you can read chapter 53, and it really is marvelous, all about the crucifixion, how his stripes are our healing. His grace and mercy brings us salvation. Well, Isaiah 58 is a book about going back to the foundation. Going back to the old landmarks. You ever heard that statement? I'm going back to the landmarks. I'm going back to the foundation. I want to go back where you know, it's supposed to be. Return to the foundation of truth. Well, Isaiah 58 is a call for that. Isaiah 58. We're going to begin with verse 7. I'm sorry. My Bible is bigger than my hands sometime, so I can read. Hallelujah. Chapter 58. We'll begin reading with verse 7. It is not for thee. It is not to deal thy bread to the hunger. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to begin with verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. That you break every yoke. Now listen, is not this the fast, to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thine house, and that thou see the naked and cover them? Now listen to this, and that thou hide not from thy flesh. That's the greatest statement of humility I've ever read in the Bible. That thou hide not thy face from thy flesh. In other words, remember that you're flesh. Don't ever forget that you're flesh and bone. Don't ever forget that you're not spiritual of yourself. Your spiritual is of the Lord. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And thine health shall spring forth speedily. And the righteousness shall be before thee. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. I like that word, reward. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of thy finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Listen, God's talking about renewing. God's talking about restoring. God's talking about doing something magnanimous for you and in your life. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. and thou shalt be like a watered garden. And thou shall be like a watered garden. Now think about a Christian, a saint of God, a godly man, a godly woman, whom God has so blessed that they are like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water failed not. And they shall, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now God's talking here to a church in the Old Testament that had dwindled, that had lost its zeal, that had lost its sense of anointing, that had lost the direction and the leadership of the great God. And so God calls them back. He's calling them to fast the right way, not to try to shake God off his throne, but to get their own self straight. He's calling them to return to the straight path, to the foundation, to repair the breach, and to restore the foundation. Doesn't that sound exciting? If I have any desire in this closing hour, it is that we restore the breach, that we bring the church back to the old paths, that we bring ourselves back to the old paths, and that we see God's glory. Hallelujah. Are you listening? How many are interested in the foundation of Christianity? How many are interested in seeing the church go back to the straight paths? How many are interested in seeing the church get back in its right mode of thinking, in its right action? Man, my heart is hungry for that. My heart is hungry for that. Father, help us this morning to hear what thou art saying to us. Help us to know that you're everything your Bible says you are, and that you desire to make us a well-watered garden. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to be a well-watered garden in the spiritual sense. I want to be a fountain of truth, a place where the Word of God flows like a river, where there's no limitation. I want to see the miracles. I want to see healings around these altars or in the pews. I want to see people running to find the old path of righteousness. Well, it has to start with us. It has to start with me. I'm on my face seeking that very path, that very way. Now, if you'll go back to verse 1 of this great chapter, remember, keep your Bible open. Isaiah 58 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. Cry aloud. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Let the world hear that you're in business for God. And you're not afraid. You're not ashamed. You're ready to speak forth. Then he says in verse 4, behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. God doesn't want you to fast to try to convince him of something. God doesn't want you to fast to try to put pressure on him. He wants you to fast for your own soul. He wants your fast to be the brokenness of spirit, the passion of others and their needs, the burden of the kingdom, the attitude and the faith of being a blessing to somebody. I want to win souls. How about you? I want to see this place explode in soul winning, righteousness and the presence and power and grace of God Almighty. I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for that. So he says, make sure you become compassionate. The first thing I want to say this morning is we must be a compassionate church. Nobody can walk in the, or should walk in those doors that they don't find a welcome from us. Nobody should come on this campus that we can't try to be a blessing to, that we can't try to help. God wants us to be full of concern for other people. The heart of the church is being concerned about others, hurting for others, feeling the burden of others, feeling the compassion of others, and that we fast for that reason. Now this morning, I'm calling you to fast. I'm not going to set days and hours and time. I'm going to let you decide. We may shortly set some days and make some plans. But to begin with, it's got to get in your heart. You don't fast because Brother Chambers pressures you to fast. It would do you or me neither any good. If you fast, you fast because God calls your heart to fast. Because you reach out to God to lead you and to show you. You literally open your spirit and say, God, I'm ready to bear the burden of my church. I'm ready to bear the burden of the kingdom. I'm ready to share the load. Teach me and help me to get fasting in my heart so that I do it because it's right. You know, people can get really upset when you start fasting, when you start talking about fasting. So that's why I'm not coming this morning to put pressure for days and times. I'm coming to call on your heart. I'm coming to call on your heart. I'm coming to tell you that the church world is in a mess. The church world is moving away from truth at an incredible speed. I remember when I first got saved. There was a purity in every church fellowship and every denominational setting. I remember having a meeting when I first came to Charlotte, and the Presbyterian pastor from Paul Creek was the most conservative man there. It was a beautiful time. He left shortly thereafter, and I've never seen him since. But he was a compassionate man. He was an old-fashioned conservative. I remember when the whole church world was compassionate and conservative. It don't exist nowhere anymore as a big thing. It's the church world that is quickly losing its sight and losing its vision and losing its way. Yeah, the church world doesn't even know where it's going anymore. Really, and I know that. You know that. It doesn't know where it's going. It's become such a blind. Well, the only answer is somebody's got to return to God. Somebody's got to start the return to the paths, the way. Somebody's got to get it in their heart. I'm going back to the old landmarks. I'm ready to repair the breach. I'm ready to rebuild the foundation over the next few days. I wish you would sit down with your pencil and paper all by yourself and write down the things that you have seen change in the church, in your Christian walk. The things that you are hearing and seeing and you know are happening. And the places in the church foundation that's going down the tube. I called several pastors this week. Every one of them said, I'm overwhelmed that churches all around me are removing their altars. They're taking them out of the church. They're removing their communion tables and they're taking them out of the church. They want the church to be a secular place. They want the church to be a soft place. They want the church to be a place without anything to disrupt the mind of the sinner who may come in the doors. And this is taking over the Pentecostal church world. Don't kid yourself. We're not talking about the Presbyterians. We're talking about the whole church world. And somebody has got to repair the breach. Somebody has got to go back and rebuild some foundations. Somebody has got to get in that Bible and start laying down some things about truth and standing up and raising their shoulders and gently and kindly speak of truth that this generation can maybe make a little return. We want a sovereign awakening. Can you say those words with me? A sovereign awakening. a Holy Ghost awakening. Brother Gans has accepted the task for camp meeting this year of teaching the Bible in the morning Bible studies. And he's going to teach all week on prayer warfare. Warfare in praying. Warfare in praying. He's going to teach a whole lesson on the altar. He's going to teach a lesson on Old Testament temple and the respect and the honor they gave the house of God and they gave the altar of God and they gave everything of truth. He's going to dig and he'll do a great job. I promise you. He's going to spend, it'll take him the 5 months between now and then. We're going to try to put it in 13 Sunday school lessons. And get it in all of our churches and get back to that altar. I'm telling you, we need to get back to that altar. We need to get back to that place where God is real and His presence is real and God's Holy Ghost can move among us. Somebody raise your hand and help me now. Repairing the breach. Restoring the foundation. You see it everywhere you go, don't you? The foundation has been broken. Highly disturbed, torn to shreds, things that were so important, things that were so wonderful. I can remember them. See, I was saved long enough ago that the church was a different world. I was saved long enough ago that I remember when it was just normal. There wasn't such a thing as a church that didn't preach keeping the Sabbath day holy. Presbyterian, a Baptist, a Methodist, in 1950 plus years, the church never forgot the responsibility of keeping the Sabbath day holy. In 50 years, a little less or a little more, that has been completely lost, gone. I want to tell you what the Holy Ghost said to me a few days ago. There'll never be a Holy Ghost revival in a church where the people don't keep my day holy. That's what the Holy Ghost said to my heart. There'll never be a Holy Ghost move in a church that doesn't keep the Sabbath day holy. How can there be? How can God violate one of His Ten Commandments and give a sovereign Holy Ghost awakening on the top of disobedience and disregard and unfaithfulness to the Holy Bible? I'm calling you this morning back to the Word of God, back to the foundation of old time Christianity and the Bible and the way of the Lord. Do you know what God's wanting to do? He's wanting to make you a river of living water. He's wanting to make you a well-watered spring there, Brother Charles. He wants to make you a place of Holy Ghost visitation, Brother Dillard. He wants to make you a place where grace and beauty flows like a river. He wants to make you shine. Hallelujah. And he said very plainly, he would make those who did what he was calling them to do a well-watered spring. Woo, I love that thought. A well-watered spring, a place of His beauty and of His love. It starts. Remember that second verse I read? I love that verse. I never seen this before in my life till this week. I didn't. That thou not forget thy flesh. If you forget that you're flesh, you're in trouble. Because remembering you are flesh reminds you that there is no place of confidence here. There is no place of victory here. Our victory is there. And we remember that we are dependent on Him and not upon our own flesh. My flesh is just like your flesh. It is not dependable. It is not reliable. It has limited strength. It has limited abilities. It understands things in a limited fashion. But when that flesh is filled with the Holy Ghost, and not just filled with the Holy Ghost, but under the leadership and the guide and the direction of that Holy Ghost, then that flesh becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's when God can go to work in a church. I want to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. How about you? I want to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. I want to be a place where God can do anything He wants to do at any time He wants to do it. I want to be available to Him 7 days a week, Brother Otto Rodriguez. I want to be available to Him morning, noon, and night. 24/7. Full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yes, God's calling us to be a well-watered garden. Now, I didn't read a verse because I want to read it separate from the text this morning. Go with me, if you would, to verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have spoken to you? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is not this, is it not, to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest that they are naked, that you cover them, and that you forget not thine own flesh? Hallelujah. Now look at verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now, go with me if you would please to verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in the drought, and make fat thy bones. Listen to that. And thou shalt be a well-watered garden, and like a spring of water. Oh, listen to me now. Now go to verse 12. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not bringing thine own, or not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Listen to that. Now, I can preach to you keeping the Sabbath day holy, and try to make a rule, and try to put you in bondage to do it, and I would do you no good. But if I stand up here this morning and tell you that God is calling us to keep the Sabbath day holy, that he wants you to find pleasure in his day. Raise your hand if you understand what I just said. Bring you to find pleasure in his day. And to make the Sabbath a delight. It's not a place to be under bondage. It's not a place to be pharisaical. It's not a place to drive this upon you and force you into it. It's a challenge to bring your heart to the place that the Sabbath is a delight unto you. Can you imagine entering the Sabbath 24 hours with a sense of delight and joy, and coming into his presence and being so excited that today is my day with you, Father. Today is my day to honor you, Jehovah God. And I delight that you 6,000 years ago set a day to be a day of worship, a day that would belong to me, God said. His day is not mine. Woo! Hallelujah. Where are we at this morning? Where are we at? Are we willing to get back to that? I remember when everywhere you went, the Sabbath day was holy. Every church you went in, I remember being at Rockwell, and we were among the Church of Christ, something kind of like Episcopalians, and they were just as pure. It was amazing how in that day, over 50 years ago, their standard was better than our standard now. Woo! Hallelujah. Church, God wants us to repair the breach. God wants us to restore the foundation. Who is going to start such a movement? Who is going to start such an effort? I've been working on it in Facebook. Woo! I'm not so sure that's a good place to start, to be real honest with you. It needs to start right here. And not just right here, but churches across the land where the Bible is real, that they believe that the Bible is infallible, and they get right back to that foundation. Most of the church world don't believe there's any such thing as an absolute anymore. pick and choose. Well, I don't much like that part of the lifestyle of a Christian. I think I'll just leave that alone. I'll move over here to something I like a little better. No, God's calling us to repair the breach. God's calling us to rebuild the foundation. And it's got to start with basics. Did you know that in the Jewish economy, the keeping of the Sabbath day holy was a foundational responsibility? Have you ever read enough of the Old Testament to understand that? Well, God's calling us back to what the Bible says. Remember John on the Isle of Patmos? There in bondage and in prison, working for the Romans, bursting rocks and working in the mines of quarrying rocks. And the Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Remember that? Revelation 1 and 10? He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'm committing myself to walk into this church on Sunday morning full of the Holy Ghost like I've never known before, anointed by the Spirit of God. Until if a person walks in the door that needs a miracle, my heart will immediately feel the burden of that needy miracle, and I'll be used of the Holy Ghost. I want to see people healed. I want to see people healed. How many want to see the sick healed? How many want to see the sick healed? I've been in church after church recent years and have pastors say to me, why aren't we seeing anybody healed? Why aren't we seeing anybody healed? I don't know a church where they're having great miracles. I don't know one pastor, not one, who trusts God for his own body. I know one is working hard in that direction. And I know Brother Chambers is working hard in that direction. But I want you to know something, folks. God's ready to perform miracles. God is ready to reveal himself. God's ready to show himself mighty and strong. And he's looking for the people who've got the backbone and the dedication to repair the breach. To repair the breach. How many are ready to repair the breach? Let me see your hand. You're ready to rebuild the foundation. How many are willing to go back to the foundation of the Bible? You know we've forsaken it. You know the church world has moved away from it. That's not... A man called the radio yesterday and said, do you know where there's a Philadelphian church? I said, I sure do. He said, where? I said, Paul Creek is one. Now, I'm not sure we are totally there, but we're certainly headed in that direction. We want to be a Philadelphia church, a church of brotherly love to start with. But number two, a church that is sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Let me see your hand if you're longing to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You're longing to hear God breathe through this place and speak with living tones of power to cause hallelujah, hallelujah. You're ready for God to make you a well-watered garden. You're ready for God to let his light shine upon you and make you a blessing and give you great miracles of his blessing upon your life. Are you ready, Brother Derek? Are you ready, Brother Dylan? Ready, Brother Joe? Ready, Brother Charles? There's a cost. There's a price to pay. It can't be something you just do legalistically either. What I'm preaching to you this morning, if you can't do it with your heart, don't touch it. Till you can do it with your heart. Is that fair enough? Until God gets a hold of your heart and you do it because you want to repair the breach. I don't think there's words I could use more powerful. Repair the breach. Rebuild the foundation. Repair the breach. Rebuild the foundation. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God that's looking for the people who he can use. He's looking for people that he can put his anointing upon you. He wants to make your face. I love those words I read earlier. You shall call me and I will say, here I am. Most of us have to pray a few weeks to get through when we got a real need. We do. We have to pray and pray and pray. God says, if you'll get where I want you, you can just speak and I'll hear you. You can say, God, and he'll say, here I am. Isn't that beautiful? Does anybody like that? A God that's wanting a people so close to him and so obedient to him, that's returned to the old landmarks, the old foundation, that returned to the... Nothing odd. I don't believe in these legalistic standards. We got holiness churches all over the country. that have different standards of holiness. I know of about 10 different standards that different groups of holiness people have. About 10. Legalistic. I mean, this is the foundation of their love for holiness. Is these one or two little things. And the rest of them are kind of, you know, nebulous. God's not calling us to that kind of holiness, but to a straight, solid Bible life, right in the book, right in the word. If it's not plain, then leave it alone. If it's not spoken clearly, then keep your hands off of it. What God's got to say won't be any question. There will be no room left for arguments. There'll be no room left to grumble and complain. Are you listening to me? And God's calling us to a plain, tender, beautiful Bible life, right down the line with the word of God. Woo! Hallelujah! Repairer of the breach. Now God says, when you will do that. Now you got. I want everybody in the church this week to read the 58th chapter of Isaiah 3 or 4 times. I've read it several times as I've got myself ready to preach this morning, and I'm telling you, it's fed my soul. I'm hungry. I want to see it. He makes it very plain. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places. That's the last verse of the chapter. Then, listen, God's talking. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. Now listen, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken this. Quote that with me, would you? For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken this. Talking about the whole chapter. Talking about the whole expression of this chapter. God has spoken. I want you to be a well-watered garden, Brother Robert. And I believe you want to be, don't you, my brother? Carlos, the same for you. The same. I want every one of you to be a well-watered garden. There won't be no more, you know, up and down and flipping around and never sure which stand you own and where you're going. What you're going to do with yourself and what your commitment is. You'll become a solid. You'll become a stable Christian. A person of great strength. A person that God can use. And he'll make his face to shine upon you. And he will make you a well-watered garden. Woo! I love the thoughts of being a well-watered garden. I've raised gardens through the years. There's nothing worse than a drought in a garden when everything begins to fade and dry up. The ground turns to stone, and there's no food together from the labor and the money that you've invested. Oh, God wants us to invest everything we are in this wonderful life. Cry aloud. Let your voice be heard. Seek the face of God. Set yourself to some fasting and praying. Remember all the commandments of God's purity. Return to the foundation. Return to the old ways of righteousness. I don't need to tell most of you what God expects out of you. You already have it in your heart. You just need to do it with all you got and give him all you are. Let's turn Paul Creek into a place of revival, would you? Let's have a Holy Ghost visitation. Let's see a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. Now, I remember when the foundation was solid. I remember when everything in the church that I was part of then was basically biblical. And I remember going to camp meeting. Or going to a revival at a church, and the Holy Ghost would sweep through that place. I remember when sinners had to hold the back of the pews to keep from falling on the floor, sitting in the house of God. I can remember when literally they had to hold the back of the pew to keep themselves out of the altar. I remember them getting up and trying to get to the altar and not even able to make it to the altar because of conviction was all over their being. And they were staggering like drunk men trying to find their way to the place to pray. I remember when the Holy Ghost would come through like waves of love, one wave after the other. And you just would enjoy each wave. Each wave. Where do you find that? I'm praying more than I ever prayed in my life. I'm seeking God more than I ever sought Him in my life. And yet, it's like a struggle because of the darkness that seems to fill every sphere around us. We want to break through all of that. If you really want to break through all of that and you really, really will help, let's return to the foundations. Let's restore the breach. You know what a breach is, don't you? How many know what a breach is? Here's a great, great crowd of people, and they're fighting an enemy. And all of a sudden, the enemy is able to get in one of the places in the front line and just cut them all down and open up a breach. And then they start feeding their soldiers through that breach in behind the other soldiers and killing them from the rear. That's a breach. There's a breach in the church. There's a breach all over the church world. And I want to be one of those that gets right in the middle of that breach and stands there and screams out, cry out for God and His glory and restore the breach. You going to help me, Brother Otto? Are you going to help me, Brother Otto? Are you going to help me? Over here, Sister Lisa. Church, let's restore the breach. Let's get back to obedience. Now, I'm going to ask you, every one of you, I'm going to get you to raise your hand if you'll do it. Will you read faithfully the 68th chapter of Isaiah this week? Let me see your hand. Everybody that will read it. Come on, raise your hand if you're going to read it. I want to see your hand up high. I can't see unless you raise them. Will you read Isaiah 68? I'm sorry, 58. Read it carefully. Read every word of it. So maybe this is not for us. There's no such thing as the Bible not for us. Where do we ever get such a thought? Is maybe that's not for us. Is that not the spirit of this age? Oh, okay. Now, would you just raise your hand with me a moment? Heavenly Father, Holy Ghost of God, somebody help me yield to the Holy Ghost. Somebody help me give yourself over to the Holy Ghost. I do not understand why we don't have more services where God moves in His Holy Ghost on different brothers and different sisters, and God uses them. It isn't just the pastor's business to be led by the Holy Ghost. It's all about business to be led by the Holy Ghost. I'm ready. God, I am going to be part of restoring the foundation and rebuilding the breach. Rebuilding the foundation, restoring the breach, whatever. I've got to be part of it. If you're ready, stand up with me. No, don't stand up if you don't mean it. Don't you lie to God. Don't lie to the Holy Ghost, but I am going to be part of rebuilding the foundation. I'm working on it big time. I really am. Giving all I got. I'm going after our preachers all over the Bible Holiness Fellowship to start keeping the Sabbath day holy. I'm not going to ask them to do it just because I say it. I'm going to ask them to get in the Bible and study it. You can't study it in the Bible and not be convinced, can you? Can you study the Bible and not be convinced that the Sabbath day must be kept holy? Has God ever said in His Word the fourth commandment is no longer valid? Did you ever see that somewhere? It don't exist. God's calling us. Now raise the right hand up with me, will you? Father, we're hungry this morning. Your servant is hungry. Father, I know the enemy is after me. I know he has afflicted me 5 full weeks now, but he's losing. And I can sense the battle being won. It hasn't been easy. And I know the victory is mine. I know the victory is ours. Lord, you're going to restore. You're going to rebuild. You're going to strengthen. You're going to make somebody in this church a well-watered garden that everywhere they go, they'll shine. They'll be like a beautiful example of purity and strength and righteousness and holiness. Woo! Glory! Thank you, Father. Bring your Bible and meet me at the altar. I want you to open it to Isaiah 58 and put your finger there. And then just hold your Bible with Isaiah 58 in between. Isaiah 58. Lord, we're going to be restorers of the breach. We're going to be restorers of the breach. Get your Bible where, will you? Isaiah 58. Put your finger in. We're going to be restorers of the breach. We're going to be rebuilders of the foundation. We're going to dig into the Bible, and we're going to let God get a hold of us, and we're going to count. Somebody's making up their mind to be something more than you've ever been this morning. Somebody's making up your mind.
Oh, no, I'm not giving up. See, I'm not turning around. It's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown someday. Oh, I'll keep holding on, holding to that nail-scarred hand. And I'm not giving up, no, I'll keep going on. I've been walking through this valley, through this veil of tears. At times I've had to question, even if my Lord was near. And many times that old tempter, he said, why not turn around? 'Cause you can't get any farther, seems, and you're just losing ground. Oh, but I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning around. It's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown someday. Yes, I'll keep holding on, holding to that nail-scarred hand. I'm not giving up.